Dear friends in Jesus Christ, this is part two of a six-part series on the 12 days of Christmas. Now, it's very important that you caught part one of the series. If you haven't, I invite you to either look at a printed copy or go to our website. You can go ahead and watch the video of the sermon, and that will give you some important information. I do want to give you a little bit more historical information, though, about the 12 days of Christmas. So just as a reminder, which 12 days here are we talking about? We're talking about December 25 through January 5. Those are the 12 days. That is the season of Christmas according to the church year. And then we have to get back and understand here who was being persecuted back in the 16th century. In England, back in 1558, teaching the Catholic faith was outlawed. Those who instructed their children in Catholicism, if they were caught doing it, they could be drawn and quartered, which was a horrible way to be put to death. Why was the poem written? Well, members of the clergy wrote poems in order to disguise their teachings, and the 12 Days of Christmas was one such poem they wrote in order to disguise the teachings. What is the content here of the 12 Days of Christmas? Well, God the Father, He is our true love. If you hear the song, and over it's talking about my true love and what He gave to me, these are gifts that God the Father is giving to people like you and me who know His Son as Savior. Does anyone here get excited about getting a Christmas gift? Well, if you do, you should be excited about the 12 days of Christmas, right? God the Father, I bet He can give a lot better gift than anybody else, and He's giving us 12 of them. So God wants us to understand what this song is about and gladly receive all 12 gifts. Now, I should mention here, of course, we do not accept a number of Roman Catholic teachings. However, with the 12 gifts that are mentioned in the song, they're all connected with the Bible, and therefore we can fully agree with all 12 of these gifts. You might be wondering how the poem became a song. It was written initially as a poem. Well, the English composer, Frederick Austin, he's the one who turned the poem into a song. So he did that back in 1909. So we believe the poem was written in 1558. It continued as a poem for a long time, and then finally a song about 100 years ago. Austin adapted the poem's words to a traditional folk tune, and when you think about the tune, the song is a growing carol. You know, it just grows more and more and more as you sing it. So it's a growing carol identifying the 12 days of Christmas. And what is the other thing we could say about the song? It is a great tool of memorization. So as you go over and over it, that is a way to memorize these 12 important gifts from our Heavenly Father. Okay, we did gifts 12 and 11 last Wednesday. Today we're heading for gifts 10 and 9. So what is gift number 10? That should be an easy one to remember here. 10 Lords a-leaping, that's referring to the 10 commandments. So that should be maybe one of the easiest ones, having the 10 and the 10. When we think about a lord is a master or a ruler, we could say. So a lord or a master, he makes commands and he expects them to be followed. So 10 lords a-leaping, kind of pointing us in that direction. In a sense, we could say 10 lords a-leaping is just a little hint to make us think about the 10 commandments. What I want to do now is I want to share words with you or phrases that summarize all 10 of the commandments. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but in the 1991 version of the explanation of Luther's Small Catechism, what they have in there as they have a short word or a phrase to describe the commandments. I'm going to give you those words or phrases now along with the commandments. Let's take a quick look. With the first commandment, we could simply summarize and say, God, the commandment, you shall have no other gods. Or with the second commandment, God's name is what we're talking about. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The third commandment, the summary here would be God's word. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. How do we do that? By faithfully gathering and receiving the word of God. Fourth commandment, God's representatives. I'm not sure who came up with these, but they're clever though. God's representatives. Fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Fifth commandment, God's gift of life. You shall not murder. Sixth commandment, God's gift of marriage. You shall not commit adultery. Seventh commandment, God's gift of possessions. You shall not steal. Eighth commandment, God's gift of a good reputation. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And then we combine 9 and 10 together, God's gift of contentment. So you shall not covet. I'm going to change it here a little bit, thinking about an idea that my grandson Noah gave me about a month ago. You shall not covet dead things nor living things. That's my way to summarize the 10th commandment. What am I talking about there? In the 9th commandment, we're talking about dead things, like you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And then in the 10th commandment, we're talking about living things. For example, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, servants, and animals. So it's an interesting way to think about those two commandments. Well, very important here, why keep the commandments? Why keep the commandments? Not to make ourselves right in the sight of God. I still remember many years ago, I taught through the whole Ten Commandments section with the youth confirmation class, and we went over that for a lot of weeks. And finally, at the end of it, I said to the class, now remind me now, why is it that we want to keep the commandments? And this one little girl raised her hand and said, that's how we get to heaven, Pastor. I'm like, oh my goodness, all that teaching, and that's what she got out of it. Isn't that so natural, though, that we're thinking, hey, God gave us all these commands, so if we do a good job of keeping them, that means that then he'll let us in someday to be with him forever. It makes so much sense. It's hard to get that out of our minds, but let's understand, though, we don't keep them to make ourselves right in God's sight. The Bible says there in Romans 3:20, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. We don't keep them to make ourselves right in God's sight, but rather we keep them to express our love for our Heavenly Father. Think about the way they did the commandments there. By using a single word or a short phrase, you can almost say the commandments are 10 gifts that God has given to us. How do we respond back to him? By using those gifts in a way that would be pleasing to him. That's what we do with the commandments. So we shouldn't be thinking, keep them and go to heaven. We should be thinking, keep them and show our love for God and honor our great God who has made us and saved us and all these other wonderful things. What about an action that we could do here in connection with day number 10? This is something you might want to think about if you're following the 12 days of Christmas. Once we get to Christmas Day and then beyond, when you get to day number 10, why don't you note down wherever you are falling short of keeping any one of the commandments, and then ask the Lord for forgiveness. Be sure that you have it through Jesus, and then ask him for help in going forward in a more God-honoring way. I'm going to remind you about those things when we get closer to the first day of Christmas. And then we come to day number nine. So nine ladies dancing, a little bit more difficult to make the connection here between the nine fruits of the Spirit, but at least we have 9 and 9, right? So when I think about this section, the Holy Spirit, I think he's a bit the forgotten person of the Holy Trinity. But let's understand, though, that the Holy Spirit is super, super important. Is God the Father? By all means. God the Son? Yes. But let's not forget about the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a couple reminders here. First of all, the Holy Spirit, he is the one that gave us faith. Think about the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, we would not have faith in Jesus. Without faith in Jesus, we would not be God's holy children. So we can see how important he is. Think about this. Now, we don't say Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, but rather we say Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Why do we put the word holy there? Well, one good way to think about it is the Holy Spirit who makes us holy in the sight of God through Jesus. And then when we think about the Nicene Creed, what do we confess there? In the third article of the Nicene Creed regarding the Holy Spirit, we confess, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. So we might say, how did he give us life? Well, I've already said it. He gave us life by giving us the gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus. That's how he gave us spiritual life, eternal life. And then let's remember that the Holy Spirit is in us. So we don't come here to the church to meet him, but he goes with us wherever we are. Think about this passage in Acts chapter 2. This is on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached his sermon. And Peter said to the ones who were contrite sinners, the ones who were aware of their sins and sorry for their sins, he said to them, repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God has gifted us with the Holy Spirit. He is with us. He is in us. And then let's remember that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us. Now, what is your preference here? When you're driving your car, and let's say the weather isn't the best, is your preference to drive with the gas gauge around empty or around full? Which do you like better? Okay, full. It's pretty obvious, right? What does the Bible say there in Ephesians 5? It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us to be running on empty as Christians. He wants us to be rather filled with the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen? Well, the more that happens is the more that we focus on the Word of God, the more we focus on Jesus, the more we are listening, the more we are paying attention to the Holy Spirit, and he's impressing his will upon us, and the more we are being obedient to that, the more we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. May God help us to move in those directions. And then the Holy Spirit wants to show in our lives. In other words, he's in there, but he doesn't want to remain hidden. He wants to show. So how does that happen? Let's think about it in a practical way, first of all. When we think about an apple tree, how does an apple tree show others that it is an apple tree? Okay, so it bears fruit. You look at the tree at the right time of the year. Oh, there are apples on that tree. That's got to be an apple tree. So it's a real simple thing, right? Well, what about for us? How do we identify ourselves as Spirit-filled believers? We do that by showing forth the fruits of the Spirit in our daily lives. The fruits of the Spirit, they are found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Many of you probably know the nine by memory here, but let me give you each of the nine words identifying the nine fruits, and then just say a couple words about each one. So the first one is love, that is honoring God, that's paying attention to others, seeing their needs, and helping them. Joy, that is this inner happiness that we are God's children, we are forgiven in Christ, we're going to be with God forever one day. All this inner happiness that you ever see someone and you look at them and they're almost like glowing. You can tell that there's something special about them. There's something different. They have like this inner happiness and it's showing on the outside. That's how God wants us to be. Peace, harmony with God. Through Jesus, we're in a right relationship with God and also harmony with others. If there's ever a conflict between us and others, if we've done wrong, we should seek their forgiveness. And if they have done wrong against us, we should immediately forgive them even before they seek our forgiveness, even as God continues to forgive us even before we seek his forgiveness. Number four, patience. Think about this, quietness in the face of difficulties. What do most people do? Oh, I have a difficulty, and I'm going to complain to everyone about my difficulty. But what is the fruit of the Spirit? I'm having the difficulty, and yet I'm exercising patience. So I'm being quiet in the face of my difficulty. I know God is aware. I know it's in God's hands. I know he's going to deliver me according to his timing. Number five, kindness. We could say generosity here. God has blessed us in a generous way. And as we see people in need, we can be generous and show them kindness by helping them in various ways. Goodness, willing to give or share. Faithfulness, trust in God's promises. Everyone is rock solid. Everyone God will bring to fulfillment according to his timing. Number eight, I'm sharing a quote here with you from Freiberg. Regarding gentleness, he wrote, strength that accommodates to another's weakness. I thought that was interesting. Gentleness is strength that accommodates to another's weakness. So here we can be like super strong, but here is someone who is weak, and rather than us being strong with them, we're going to be gentle with them to accommodate to their weakness. Isn't that a beautiful way to put it? And then the final one here, self-control. So that would be controlling ourselves. Do any of us do that perfectly? I sure don't. So isn't it interesting that that's number nine? So that's all the way at the bottom of the list. I think God knew that's going to be the most difficult one. But still, though, it's not that we can say, oh, God gave me number five and number six, but I didn't get the rest. Oh, no, we have the Holy Spirit. So we have the potential for all nine of them to show in our lives. And God wants us to show those more and more and more. So what is the action here? Let us continue to grow in Christ and show more and more of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Well, next Wednesday, I invite you to come again. We're going to keep learning the song. We're going to keep growing in Jesus, and we're going to keep getting ready to celebrate his birth. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, our true love, thank you so very much for these 12 precious gifts identified in the song. Help us to keep learning them, keep applying them in our lives, and keep living unto your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.